If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
I think people need to know there's a marketing element of this too, because if you're going down the path of saying, I'm just going to go and market real estate, you're looking at C-REXI, you're looking at things like that. Well, keep in mind, if you're looking to sell a business and the business has real estate tied to it, there's a whole other world of marketing capability on that front with listing the business.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Bart Rupert has a strong mergers and acquisitions background across Fortune 500s and startups within industries such as technology, software, energy, managed services, and construction. He has made a career buying and selling companies for a living and taken ownership of businesses across three different countries using none of his own money. Today, he's helping ordinary, everyday people buy and sell companies for a living. Bart, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. Great to be here.
Man, this is great. I love having guests on that do things slightly different, maybe than our every, not that our everyday guests aren't important because they are, but I also love new perspectives. And so I'm excited to jump in today and really hear about what it is that you guys do and how real estate and what you do kind of tie together. And then lastly, as you know, it's obviously a short show, but some of the things I also want to connect on today are things you see people doing right and things you see people doing wrong inside of both of those industries. So really the floor is yours to take this wherever you like, but that's kind of the framework I want to set for our conversation. How's that sound?
That sounds great. No pressure. The floor is mine.
No pressure at all, man. It's all you.
All right. Well, yeah, I got started in this in a way that I think is a little different than most of your guests, whereas most of the guests came into real estate, had some sort of passion with that, and was like, is it residential, is it commercial, is it industrial? I came in from the standpoint of buying and selling companies, so more of a mergers and acquisitions stance. And within that, as I was going and buying and selling companies, I invariably got pulled into real estate. It just naturally happened because you've got businesses with real estate tied to them, either leased or owned. We've got a deal right now that we're working on where very good business, it's got like half a dozen locations, and the owner, through another LLC that he holds, has like five of those. So then it comes down to an opportunity, because you could just sell the business, but the business may not be as valuable without the real estate. And then you could turn around and say, well, great, I'll just sell it all. And that's, I think, where the differentiation comes into play. And that's the opportunity, I think, for most of your listeners, because just as I started with selling companies and got pulled into selling real estate, I think other folks that are out there selling real estate today can recognize that there's this whole other world of opportunity by expanding the horizons to a business as well.
That's interesting. That's interesting, because most of us, we like our lane. Like, we get in, we say, okay, this is what I do. And then anything outside of that, it's just, it doesn't meet the buy box. So we, you know, kind of throw it off. So what are some situations that you see this playing out? And then how do we open our eyes to those opportunities?
Yeah, I think it's just build rapport with the owner of the real estate or the people that you're working with there and ask questions. Ask questions and try to find out where their pain is, what they're trying to solve, why they're trying to solve it is really important, because you'll start to identify with where their problem space is. I'll give you an example because I think it ties together your question nicely. People do like to stay in their lanes. You're 100% correct. But sometimes there's an opportunity that comes along that you just can't or don't want to say no to. Mm-hmm. So for example, there was a business that we were looking to sell, building great rapport with the owner, really like him. The business would list for over $20 million, but they turned around and said, yeah, we've got this real estate and we're working on that. And it turns out it was over $43 million of real estate.
Wow.
So you're looking at it going, okay, well, yeah, I don't want to not sell that. And there's synergy behind being able to say, let's take the business with the real estate, bolt it all together, and actually get access to better buyers, higher quality buyers, buyers that are interested in actually both sides of the coin. And not only for you, are you going to be able to get more out there on the chopping block to be able to sell. So now you got a $20 million company plus $43+ million in real estate. So you've really like tripled the amount of financial value of what you're selling just like that, just by being in the right place at the right time, building credibility. But beyond that, I think people need to know there's a marketing element of this too. Because if you're going down the path of saying, I'm just going to go and market real estate, you're looking at C-REXI, you're looking at things like that. Well, keep in mind, if you're looking to sell a business and the business has real estate tied to it, there's a whole other world of marketing capability on that front with listing the business. And we don't just rely on listings. We're very proactive in reaching out to people because we find that's better. But if you're in a situation where you approach, say, a financial investor, you never know what's going on with that financial investor or what they're going to be interested in. But if you've got two different ways in the door, you've now at least doubled your chances of achieving a victory. So for example, right now in 2021, as we're looking towards the future, we can see that there's a lot of transactions going on with businesses. There's a lot of fear around commercial. So people are asking, what do I do with commercial? I'm not sure what that could look like and what the future is going to hold in the post-COVID world. But with businesses and SBA loans and PPP loans, transactions around the sales of businesses are skyrocketing. They're happening like mad. So if you know that, say, this year, even if it's just this year, that the transactions around businesses are far higher than they otherwise would be, then wouldn't you want to dip your toe in that water? Because let's say that you start by putting the business first and say, hey, I got this great business for sale. That may capture a whole different type of buying audience where they're like, hey, I want businesses. And then you bring up the real estate and they can see the power of the real estate. You never would have found that person if you were just going forth with real estate. So there's a strategy to it to be able to cast a wider net, be able to capture more fish with that and have higher quality conversations with better buyers.
Right, right. That's interesting. I would think most of the time, you know, I'm just thinking through some different things we've been involved in, that the real estate and the business are split. Usually, even if it's the same owner or even not, like usually somebody just wants to sell a business or they just want to sell the real estate. How did this work out with this particular deal where you said you tripled basically the amount of sellable assets? Were they trying to sell the business without selling the real estate? Were they just going to be the landlord?
Yeah, they were doing it separately. So they had a business that was doing one thing, and then they were doing development on the real estate to be able to do something very different with it. And what we were able to do is get together and actually have quality conversations to tie those two together. And that's a really great thing about this, is that when you're looking at things through a very narrow lane, if you will, like you said, people stay in their lane. I'm either a business buyer or I'm a real estate buyer. I may not be both. But if you as the broker can come in there and tell the story to be able to say, hey, here's what the business does. Here's what the real estate does. The value of tying these two together is far greater than either of these individually. And here's how you make money and appreciate your value on the real estate side. Here's how you make money and actually get good EBITDA or profit coming out of the business. And combined, this is what that looks like. That's the best way to go about it.
I gotcha.
What we're doing right now actively, we've got, and if anybody wants to reach out to me, I could talk to you about this or share this with you. We've got a very sophisticated pro forma that we go through and actually show, here's what the value of the real estate looks like, the appreciation, if you're going to rent it, what that looks like. Here's the actual company. And we actually put those together. And when people see that pro forma, they see a much greater IRR than you typically just recognize in your standard real estate transaction. They're looking at it going, wow, there's things I could do in the business that are additive and leverage the real estate further to actually get a better or higher use behind it than they're currently getting. And all of a sudden you start getting this compounding effect to where best case, they're looking at all of it and saying, wow, I want to pay more for it. This is phenomenal because there's actually more value created. Let me just really lean in and do this deal with you. And worst case, they're just more interested to where they might have more of a conversation, more of an in-depth discussion, and see you as more of a thought leader. So a lot of people that we've talked to, say, 6 months ago and may not have gotten a transaction done with, call us back and say, hey, I'm reaching out to you guys because I'm now looking for X. And I remember our conversation because you're the only group that I've talked to that actually talked to both of those different things and really thought about it strategically. So if you can position yourself to be more central to those types of deals, you can get more traction.
That's interesting, you know, for especially for those of us who are strictly on the real estate side. Now, I can think of some asset classes where it is, I mean, I would classify multifamily. Maybe you can correct me to this. It's kind of it's a business and a real estate transaction. I mean, in its own right, they're kind of separate, but yet obviously the same are tied together, and those are inseparable. But for those of us that buy just commercial real estate and then bring tenants in, it's kind of hard to look out there and say, okay, what businesses are out there? Because it sounds like more work. It sounds like things we don't know about. How do you overcome, and every business I understand is different, right? It's a different animal, but how do you overcome that? And what should we be looking for that would kind of help us identify those right businesses that we could acquire without saying adding another full-time job to our plate?
Yeah. Well, I think we would agree that business transactions or deals are done between people, not companies at the end of the day, right?
Sure.
So what I would say is in those discussions, because you're talking to a person, be less transactional and be more personal and build that rapport like we were talking about earlier. Really seek to understand what their pain is and ask them questions like, why is it you're looking to sell this real estate? And I'll also add that you bring up some really good examples. Let's tackle them, like multifamily, for example. Most of the folks that I come across that have multifamily, the reason they got down that path in the first place is because they probably had a knowledge of real estate, they had a knowledge of what it took to lease property, but more importantly, they were likely looking for passive income.
Right.
There's very few people I come across that say, sure, I bought all this multifamily because I want to run it. They're going to hire somebody to do that.
For sure.
They're looking for, I want an asset that I can go and see, feel, touch, that I know will appreciate in the right market, and I want to be able to create passive income. The commonality that you've got with those types of individuals is they're entrepreneurs. They're going to do other stuff. They've got side investments. They've got other things they're involved with, and more than you will think. And if you're treating it very transactionally, you'll never find that out. Mm. I mean, you could get, say, 10 brokers to line up and go talk to the same person. And then I could go and talk to them. And just because the questions I ask and the way I engage them, I'll discover what it is that they're doing on the side, if you will, whereas nobody else will really care. And when you discover that, it opens up the lines of communication. It opens up the correspondence. To where now I can say, hey, so you're doing multifamily. I'll give you a quick example of how to do it. You're doing multifamily. Seems like a lot of people are looking at passive income. Is that why you did this? And they could say, well, yes, no. And whichever way they go, actually, you got a lead in to be able to say, what else are you involved with? And as soon as they come back and say, yeah, you know, I'm doing this, they're probably going to be excited about it. You're not basically talking about property or a sale. You're talking about them. You're talking about what they care about, what they're interested in. We're just people at the end of the day. And you get them talking about that, they're going to disclose to you all this other stuff that they're involved with. And then you can cherry pick, if you will, the stuff that you think you could take on and do a great job with. So if they come back and say, yeah, I own dry cleaners. Well, I can tell you a lot of M&A groups or brokerages, rather, small brokerages, care about dry cleaners. We do not. I don't give a care in the world. It's too small. It's not interesting. But if they turn around and say, yeah, I've got this, you know, development company and we just do land development and we stand up assets like this one for multifamily, and I'm sitting right now at $50 million worth of land. Great. Okay. Well, now I've got a conversation. It's like, what else are you doing? And so I could get access to a development side of the business. I could get access to construction. There may be things related to, say, tenant leasing. We've come across groups that actually have software to help manage tenants, and that's a business, and they don't know really how to run it or get it off the ground or how to sell it. There's amazing things that come out of that just by having a conversation and really figuring out, what are your interests as not just a guy who has a piece of multifamily, but what are your interests as an individual and what are your interests professionally? And then you can see whether or not you can leverage that.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating. Yeah, those are great points there. You'd made the comment early on that the mark or the volume, the transaction volume this year is just unbelievably high. What are those businesses that are selling, and can you give us an idea why and kind of where you see, you know, this market going as far as the business selling environment?
Yeah, it's all over the board, and it's not just on the sell side. It's on what's called the buy side as well, which is looking to purchase. And I'll tell you kind of the range we've got right now, and I'll tell you what the numbers look like. I mean, we've got some companies that we're going through transactions right now that are just a couple million dollars in value. They're not very big. We've got others that we're going through, like one in the UK that we're just getting ready to start getting in front of potential buyers with, that transaction is going to sell for over 100 million pounds. And so for those in the US, that's on a converted basis, pound to dollar ratio, about $130 million.
Right.
So we've got really big transactions. There's also a group that recently engaged that is a, they're a chemical company, and they're like, hey, this is a great time to buy businesses. There's groups that are out there not doing so well. We're going to put like 20 to 50 million a year into purchase. Can you lead those transactions and go find them for us? And we'll just go scoop up a bunch of businesses for them. And that's going to have real estate tied to it that we're going to pick up there as well. And some of those are going to be in the UK, some are going to be in the US, some are going to be in South Africa. There's all kinds of places we're looking. And those are kind of on the high side where you see not large, huge Fortune 500s, but larger companies going out and transacting. Then you've got a whole swath of smaller organizations that are, say, somewhere between $1 million and $5 million that in the United States right now are transacting like crazy. Mm. And the reason they're doing that is because the SBA, Small Business Association, has put together a program that allows us to go and purchase businesses using SBA loan dollars. And it's a decent interest rate. But the benefit is that the US government right now, if you apply before September, you can get access to this money and the government will pay 6 months worth of principal and interest. So it's free money.
Right.
That's driving an insane amount of discussion right now. I'm seeing people come out of the woodworks that have never purchased a business, never thought about it, going, hey, never done this before. I've worked as like an engineer for the last 20 years. Maybe I just got fired. Maybe I decided to quit. Maybe I'm doing something different. I'm now going to take this money. I'm going to go buy a business, take control of my destiny, and have the government take the first 6 months principal and interest for free for me. And there's so many transactions right now. The challenge is getting things through underwriting. The challenge is getting everybody to pay attention to be able to get their lawyers to go and get things inked because there's so much volume.
That's crazy. And I would say that's kind of asset class agnostic or business class agnostic then in that 1 to 5 million range.
Yeah, it's all over the board.
What do you see? What businesses aren't moving right now?
You know, it's, I'm probably not the best person to ask that just because we tend to focus on businesses that are the few, not the many. We tend to find ourselves working with premium businesses or owners that have created something that's not heavily commoditized, and they're looking to get 20 to 40% more value out of the sale of the business. That's our specialty. So we'll come in and find a way to be able to sell it for quite a bit more than they might have otherwise been able to get in the market just because of how we do it and how we go about the transaction. So the stuff that I think you're going to see, if I were to just guess at that, not selling really well, are things that are restaurants, things that are directly affected by COVID, stuff that depends upon large groups of people. You know, I wouldn't want to have like a kid's trampoline park right now. That would be tough. Just because, you know, you've got everybody running around in masks, if you're even open, you're having to sanitize the whole place constantly. There's a lot of stuff like that that I think is just unfortunately struggling. But you're also seeing people that had businesses like that that are ready to pivot to where they're turning around and buying things that will represent commodities that or services people can use in the future very easily.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What are some things that we can do to prepare? You know, say somebody is interested in acquiring, you know, businesses they maybe know nothing about or be, you know, invest in industries they may know nothing about. What are some things that we could be doing to really get our head and kind of our education piece taken care of before we start venturing out?
Yeah. You know, what I would say on that front is that you can go out there and just buy a business without the background. I would equate that to going out there and trying to sell real estate without ever having taken your real estate license exam. And we've all been through, I'm assuming everybody that's listening to this has been through that. It's not easy to go through and figure all that information out, but it's important because you can slip up and make some mistakes otherwise. So I would say in that case, if you haven't done it before, find somebody that has, work with them, use them as your mentor. Have them take you through the first transaction or two. It's not hard once you know the rules of engagement, but if you don't know the rules of engagement, you can really leave a lot of money on the table, put yourself in harm's way. So our group has actually stood up a course that has condensed like 20 something years worth of knowledge on how to do this, even using none of your own money, and condensed that down to a very consumable amount of best practices and points that allow people to go out there and do this. So we've had several dozen people go through the program that have essentially with no background, no experience from all walks of life, go and buy companies successfully, sell companies successfully, and make a lot of money doing it. So we recommend that just because, you know, well, we're partial to it because we made it, but it works. And then the other side of it is you could find a group like us to help you go and buy that first business and take you through the best practices, because it's not a matter of whether or not you can get it done. It's a matter of, do you know the game and the rules well enough to not get taken in the process?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, absolutely. I can't imagine. I've both bought and sold companies, and I can't imagine going through that blind the first time. That would be, and I absolutely had help on both of those fronts. So that's sage advice. Let's jump into the final four here. What's one piece of advice you would give, and maybe you just gave it, but what's one piece of advice you would give to somebody who is looking to expand their business holdings?
Yeah, I would say two things. Number one, engage with the person you're talking to much more than you have before. Don't make it transactional, make it personal. And the second of which is stop holding yourself back in the size of transactions you're going after. Mm. I see too many people out there in our space that have this artificial limit around what we call their success cube. And they say, oh, that's too big of a transaction for me, you know, because they just psychologically can't hold that success. That's not true. I mean, if you've done a small commercial or multifamily, you can do a large one. It's really not that different. So stop holding yourself back, really allow yourself to break free and step into that career path that you ultimately want and deserve.
That's great. Bart, what's one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
Constantly studying, constantly looking at what's out there, socializing, making sure to stay on top of the new trends, the new things that are coming out, that are new strategies, tactics, et cetera. Because ultimately, whether we realize it or not, we are thought leaders across everything we do. And I work with a whole host of people on strategies to help them buy companies. And I work with a lot of entrepreneurs on how to help them sell companies and get 20, 40% more value out of it. If I don't know what the latest tax strategy is, the latest tactic to be able to go through and get the most out of it, the latest SBA loan approach, PPP, then I'm out of my game and I'm not adding value and people will stop coming to me as heavily.
Right, right. Absolutely. When it comes to giving back, what's one way you're making the world a better place?
By helping people buy and sell companies on their own. So we've basically taken people that, like one guy, he has a tire store. Another guy was a construction worker. Another person was a developer of software. We've helped these individuals step up and buy their own companies and sell their own companies. And just as one quick example, because this really feels good when you're helping other people create their dreams and forge their own destiny. The guy that was previously running construction crews as a foreman and had never seen what we might call significant amounts of money in his life, right now he's working with us on the sale of a massive transaction. And once he's done with that deal, he will by far have made himself a millionaire.
That's awesome.
And it's all using the tactics that we've talked about. One deal, he will acquire well into the seven figures. So that stuff feels really good because you're working with people that are super appreciative of the fact that you've introduced strategies, tactics, and really coaching and helped work side by side with them to take down scores in a way that, number one, they never thought they could do. And number two, were way bigger than they would have ever given themselves permission to do.
That's awesome. Bart, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. Two ways to do that. Number one, you can hit, if you're a business owner looking to sell a business, us at www.stonepeakalliance.com. That's our M&A firm. That's one of three companies under an umbrella that we utilize to buy and sell companies. And if you're looking to get into buying companies yourself, you can hit us up at www.spartansalliance.com. That's Spartans with an S plural, alliance.com. We got some videos out there. We got different techniques. Definitely make sure to hit the forms on the websites and submit information if you'd like us to get in touch with you. We're pretty backed up at the moment just with everything going on transactionally, but we will circle back and we'd be happy to help you.
Bart, thanks so much for your time. Certainly appreciate it. This was great.
You got it, Sam. And for everybody on camera, if you notice the puzzle in Sam's backdrop behind him, we discovered when we first got on, we actually have the exact same brain teaser puzzle on our shelf. It was so serendipitous.
That's awesome. Thanks for the pointer, man. That's awesome. Glad you saw that.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.